Welcome to the 18 Hours News Bulletin on Millennium Radio. The headlines. Government releases 22.1 billion kwacha to fund public service delivery. SANAC attributes absence of prosecutions of senior officials to lack of evidence. U.S. reducing personnel at Qatar Air Base, CBS reports.
FM, the voice of development.
With the details, my name is Mugwema Timothy Jilalam. The government has released 22.1 billion kwacha in December 2025 to finance public service delivery across the country. The funds were released through the Ministry of Finance and National Planning and are aimed at sustaining essential services, servicing debt clearing domestic arrears, supporting vulnerable households and financing capital projects. Out of the total amount, 4.6 billion kwacha went to the public service wage bill. 10.9 billion kwacha was allocated to debt service and the dismantling of domestic arrears. 2.5 billion kwacha was released for transfers, subsidies and social benefits. 1.1 billion kwacha supported government programs on general operations, and 2.2 billion kwacha was invested in capital expenditure. Under debt service, 5.9 billion kwacha was used for domestic debt, 1.5 billion kwacha for external obligations, and 3.5 billion kwacha for clearing domestic arrears. Funds released under the transfers and subsidies included 1.3 billion kwacha to granted debt institutions such as hospitals and universities, 4.4 million kwacha for the social cash transfer program, and 240.7 million kwacha to the local government equalization fund. And on capital expenditure, 1.3 billion kwacha supported road infrastructure, 460 million kwacha went to rural electrification projects, and 397 million kwacha financed infrastructure projects across ministries. Finance and National Planning Minister Tumbe Komsotone says consistent treasury releases show government's commitment to the budget discipline and responsible economic management. The Mine Workers Union of Zambia Mills has expressed sorrow following the death of two miners who were killed in a fatal underground accident at Mopani Copper Mines South Ore Body Shaft in Kitwe. The tragic incident occurred on Tuesday, January 13, 2026, around 1745 hours at the 3,760-feet level, 1,000 cross-cut. The deceased have been identified as Justin Mutaba, aged 15, Josiah Silomba, aged 42. Both men were contractor employees working under Reliant Mining. Moore's coordinator and public relations officer, Michael Kaluba, described the incident as heartbreaking, saying it has shaken the mining fraternity. Mr. Kaluba has since called on mining companies, particularly contractors operating at Mopani Copper Mines, to urgently review their safety systems and ensure strict compliance with statutory and industrial safety standards.
We've just started the year. You know, it's barely 2 weeks into the year that we record a fatal accident. So as a miners representatives, we're deeply saddened. And at this point, all we can do is, send out our deepest condolences to the, families of our colleagues and also to the entire mining community. It's time to check on our safety protocols and procedures. It's very important that we adhere to what has been set by law and, industry-wide practices. We must ensure that our miners are always working with very safety priorities. And therefore, it is cardinal that as contractors, as the mining fraternity, we take care of all the details that are important when it comes to safety.
The Southern African Network Against Corruption, SANAC, says the absence of prosecutions involving senior government officials named in alleged corruption reports may be due to insufficient evidence gathered during investigations. Speaking in an interview with Millennium Radio, SANAC President Kasenzi Kalenga says although several reports suggesting possible corruption have been made public, Investigative authorities may have failed to meet the legal threshold required to take suspects to court. He explained that the government institutions are often cautious about naming individuals and the investigation as premature disclosure could unfairly damage reputations if no wrongdoing is ultimately proven. Dr. Kalenga notes that even publicly confirming an investigation that later results in no prosecution can permanently taint an individual's image, which is why some cases are handled discreetly. He adds that civil society organizations are limited in their ability to push for action unless formal charges are brought by investigative agencies such as the police or the Anti-Corruption Commission.
So even us as anti-corruption civil society organizations, we should not push on issues where the police themselves have not charged an individual. Once an individual has been charged, then you can push based on the grounds that, okay, this person has been charged, let's see you now prosecute this person. And you, there were some from Zamsa, remember the people from Zamsa? Yeah, they were prosecuted, correct? You know that those were government members, right? So then, I don't know whether or not you'd find it fair to say the government does actually prosecute some people who are members of the government.
Mining expert Danny Mwilan says mining reforms have boosted production but has warned that the rebound is not translating into meaningful jobs or strong national gains for Zambians. Mr. Mwilan says higher copper output does not automatically lead to increased employment or broader economic benefits for citizens. He notes that while newly opened mines such as Kalengwa and Kitumba in Mombwa have created jobs for local communities, employment levels at existing mines have not significantly increased despite higher production.
We should put in place proper policies that ensure that even if the production, our target is to reach 3 million by 2031 or is it 2030, as a country we are benefiting. You can put, why should we have a rush to reach that target if the major players are not even Zambians? Because what we should, our focus should be the Zambians to own the means of production, the Zambians to own these mines. And then once the Zambian owns these mines, then we can have, we can be rushing to reach that target.
And in business news, the Online Taxi Drivers Association of Zambia is advocating for agent reforms to improve the safety and security of its members amid alarming reports of criminal attacks targeting online taxi drivers. In an interview with Millennium Radio Association, President Lucas Chanda disclosed that the organization has lost 18 drivers to criminal activities over the past year, highlighting the urgent need for enhanced protection measures. Mr. Chanda has called for amendments to Statutory Instrument 19 of 2025, which currently governs online taxi operations in the country. He has emphasized that updated regulations should mandate all car hailing companies to prioritize driver and passenger safety by incorporating essential security features. He has outlined several critical security enhancements needed to protect drivers during their shift.
As we are in 2025, we believe that this government, under the leadership of Netaga in the Ichile, to make sure that they look into this industry as online taxi industry, because these drivers, truly, to be honest with you, they feel neglected by the government. They really feel neglected by the government. So we need to make sure that the government of today, they take keen interest of these drivers, these online drivers. The pride of the driver must be shown or must be looked upon.
We take a break.
When you advertise with Millennium Radio, you take a leap of confidence because you have an active audience of over 6 million people waiting to buy your products and services. When you advertise with Millennium Radio, your success is assured because our professional team works with you to ensure you hit your target. When you advertise with Millennium Radio, you join the winning brands. You join the league of satisfied customers. Call us now on 071-595-606 or 0765-194796. It's Millennium Radio again and again. Millennium Radio, the voice of development.